Well, let me ask you again, as I started the service today and we gathered at this place, have you had someone in your life who is a real difference maker? I think all of us can say, yeah, we've had people in our life that are a real positive difference maker. And I ask you this question, do you want to be that kind of a difference maker in someone else's life? We're in a series entitled Daring to Follow God's Call. It's on the life of the prophet Elisha. He dared to leave his established, comfortable life to follow God's call. He dared to follow the leading prophet of his generation in spite of the hardship it would necessitate. He dared to become a voice for God and for righteousness in a divided nation in moral and spiritual decline. He dared to be different when compromised religion was the order of the day. He dared to impact his generation and the next. He dared to ask God for more power. We've learned that learning from his life is not for people that are comfortable, that are happy with compromise or convenient Christianity or the status quo. No, learning from his life is best for those who will dare to follow God's call. And you know, God is still boldly calling people today. So I tell you, be daring and follow God's call. Now, when you dare to follow God's call, God brings people into your life who make a difference. Can I say that again? When you dare to follow God's call, God brings people in your life who make a difference. So turn in your Bible again to the book of 2 Kings, this time chapter 4, and let's meet a difference maker. 2 Kings chapter 4. We will consider beginning in verse 8, and then we will consider through verse 17 today, because we're going to meet a difference maker, and I'm going to tell you what God is going to challenge us with as we consider this event in the lives of people who dare to follow God's call. We're going to talk about the blessing of difference makers. And then we're going to talk about what God tells us about becoming that person who can be a difference maker. And then we're going to talk about the blessings for difference makers. Now, are you ready to follow God's call and be a difference maker? See, if you're ready to be a difference maker, then God has something wonderful for you today. So let's pray and ask God to speak to us from his book, the Bible. So God, we are asking that you would do a work so that the people of this congregation would understand that you bring people into their lives to be difference makers. And when we need you to have people in our lives, Lord, that you will give the people that we need. Help every one of the people of our congregation to move from just somebody who is receiving the blessing of others being difference makers to become that difference maker. And encourage them, Lord, for what you can do as they live their lives to really bless and help and encourage others. So we're asking, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to do a work in us that is supernatural in its origin and then is carried on by supernatural power. So as the preacher, I yield to the Holy Spirit. As a hearer and on behalf of all of us who are hearers of the word, we ask for the Spirit to wonderfully and personally speak to us. And then, God, as you speak, give us the grace, the power we don't have to respond in faith and follow your call. So, God, help us, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the account begins in verse 8 with a wonderful politeness that takes place. If you'll look at your Bible, verse 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither or there to eat bread. And she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us build, set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned in unto the chamber, and he lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Couldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. It's a polite way of saying, you know, I don't need anything. I'm good. I'm content where I am. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered. He comes up with a possibility of his own. And he says, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And then Elijah said to Gehazi, verse 15, call her. And when she had called and stood in the door, and he said, and he makes a prophecy. He said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie to thine handmaid. And he said, or in the woman, verse 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Now, when daring to follow God's call, God puts people in your life who are difference makers. So let's talk then about difference makers. Let's talk first, if you're taking notes, let's talk about the blessing of difference makers. Now listen, how many of you know that whenever you decide you're going to follow God, the enemy always will put people in your life to discourage you? How many of you know what I'm talking about? But you better know this, that even though there may be enemy, the enemy might put people in your life to discourage you, I want you to know that God wonderfully will put people in your life that will be a difference maker to help you to move forward in following the call that he has for your life. Now, I want you to notice then that God puts key people in your life to be difference makers. Who was the woman that we met here? Well, we read about her when we're introduced to her. In verse 8, she is called a great woman. Now, what made this great woman so great? It could mean that she was great in prominence, well-known, influential, and the term is used that way sometimes in the Bible. A woman who people know, and she was prominent in her city of Shunem. It could mean that she was great in prosperity. It could be that she was a wealthy woman whom God had blessed financially. But at the very least, this woman is great in perception because she says in verse 9 these words. She says, I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passeth by us continually. See, she understood and this isn't just a preacher that talks about it and doesn't walk it. He isn't talking out both sides of his mouth. This is a man that is authentic and real. And she saw this man who passed by in her city. And I want to tell you that just whenever Elisha needed it, there was a woman that God raised up to be a difference maker. I want you to stop and think about your life. Look in the past of your life. Look back. If you've walked with God very long, even if you haven't walked with God that long, I want you to think back about people that God put into your life to be difference makers. As I've prepared this week and been thinking about this passage of Scripture, it's been a wonderful exercise for me in my own life. It's something that you don't have the privilege of doing because you don't have to prepare to preach this sermon like I did. But now I want you to share with me in the experience of it, and maybe even this coming week, this ought to be an experience in your life about the people that God put in your life along the way in your journey that have been difference makers. And sometimes there are people that the difference is so significant. And sometimes it's times when there are people that they don't even realize how significant they are, but God uses them in significant ways in your life. And sometimes it's something small, sometimes it may be big, but there are all kinds of ways that God puts all kinds of people in your life to be a difference maker. And Elisha is a prophet. He's living in an ungodly kingdom. He is the one voice that is leading the charge for righteousness and God. And God brings into his life a key person. Boy, God is faithful when you dare to follow his call to bring into your life key people. But not only that, but God brings key people, and he brings those key people into your life in key places. Where did this lady live? What was her hometown? You talk to me, tell me. I'm talking to you. What was her hometown? How many of you knew it? Why didn't you say it? Come on, we're talking. Don't ignore me, please. I mean, you know, at least have a little. Yeah. Her town is Shunem. Now, you say, well, is Shunem significant? I mean, it's just another city, right? Well, it is just another city, but you'd better believe Shunem is significant because of its location. Now, if you were to look at a map of Israel, you would notice that Shunem is in the middle of the country, in the northern part of this kingdom of Israel. Shunem is halfway between two important places in Elisha's life. One of the places that is important to Elisha is Abel-Meholah. Now, Abel-Meholah is an important place to him, and actually we visited Abel-Meholah in our study of Elisha's life because Abel-Meholah is Elisha's hometown. So there's Abel-Meholah. Abel-Meholah is going to be it's in the Jordan River Valley. It's going to be just to the west of the Jordan River on a little waterway, a wadi that would pass and flow into the Jordan River. That's his hometown. And then there's another place that is significant, and Shunem is right in the middle. It's Carmel, Mount Carmel. Now, how many of you know what happened at Mount Carmel, the most important thing that happened at Mount Carmel? Remember? Yeah. Who was the prophet that had a big God-honoring event in his life? Who was it? Elijah. Thank you for talking with me. I appreciate that. Yeah, Elijah. Now, remember, Elijah was the predecessor for Elisha. He was Elisha's mentor. And it was a very important place where God manifested himself. The fire fell from heaven. The glory of God was manifest. And in fact, remember that after Elijah left Elisha, he had some places that he went on the way, but we learned in the second chapter of 2 Kings that he made his way all the way back to Mount Carmel, to that place where God had manifested himself. Remember, he had asked Elijah, if I could just have a double portion of your spirit. And he goes back to the place where God poured out his hand of power on the life of Elijah. Very significant to him, to the people. And so right between these two places is the city of Shunem, 25 miles to Mount Carmel, 25 miles to Abel-Meholah. Now, if you were to travel, let's say from Abel-Meholah, his hometown, you would travel north along the Jordan River Valley, and there would be there a road that goes along the river valley, and then you would come to a very a large valley called the Valley of Jezreel. It was the major east-west road in this portion of Israel. And right at a great point in the middle of the Valley of Jezreel is Shunem. From that place, he could go all the way to the coast, the Mediterranean coast, the coastal plain, and could minister there. From that place, he could go east, and he could minister in the Jordan River Valley. From that place, he could go north into the region of the Galilee and the beautiful hill country of the Galilee. From that place, he could easily go south into the Judean hills and then into the Judean mountains. From that place, it was a very strategic place so that from there he could minister to the entire nation. And God knew that he needed a place like that. It would be such a blessing for his life. And you know, at different places in your life, do you realize that God brings up key people and he does so at key places? Now that's enough, but God has more. Beside God giving you key people at key places, God does so for key purposes because we read already that this is what happens. He's passing by there. And as he's passing by there, he's going to need something to eat, right? And this woman provides a place to rest or a place to stop and eat. She provides a place to rest and retreat. How many of you know how it is when you're traveling that there are certain places, maybe a certain exit, there are places you like to eat, there are places you like to get gasoline, there are places you, how many of you know there are places like that? Isn't it good to know that, hey, if I just a few more miles and I'm going to make it to our place, right? And so for Elisha, as he's ministering in his generation, God provided this place for a key purpose. Everybody needs to eat. Everybody needs a place to stop and rest, a place where he could retreat. But there's something else. God provided key people at key places for key purposes. And when you dare to follow God's call, there's something else God will do for you, as he did for Elisha, and that is he provided all of these difference makers or this difference maker at key times because God touched her heart. And she saw this prophet. He keeps passing by there. He looks out the window. I can see it. She's looking out the window and, hey, there goes the prophet Elisha. Not too long later, she's in doing whatever she's doing in the house, and she looks out the window, and there he goes again. And maybe she's at the market one day, and sure enough, there goes Elisha. Hey, there he goes again. In fact, he passes by oft. Verse 9 says he comes by continually, so that this is a man that keeps going, and he's passing by, and this woman says, hey, wait a minute, maybe I can do something. And she provided for him a place that really made a difference in his life and in his ministry. And I want to tell you that there are key times when you dare to follow God's call that God brings into your life the blessings of difference makers at those key times. And how many of you, after you read this and you think about it, your senses are far more aware of how God has brought people into your life, key people to make a difference. Are you far more? Have you been thinking about people? I'm talking to you about it. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll be bold enough in your generation to believe God and whatever God speaks, whatever God wants to do in your life, if you will be willing to follow God's call, God will be faithful to put those people in your life who will be difference makers and help you on your journey. Say, well, if I come to the Lord, I haven't been born again yet, but I've been thinking about this. If I come to the Lord, how am I going to make it? I'll feel like I'm all alone because the crowd I'm with now, they don't really care about the Lord. Hey, listen, God will be faithful to you. He'll bring key people into your life at key times, key places, for key purposes. You say, but Pastor, if I follow God's call, I don't know. Wait a minute. Would you believe God? That God will bring difference makers into your life. David Cottrell, in his book, Monday Morning Choices, tells when he started his business And things got tough. Oh my, it got tough. In fact, it got so tough. Nothing went according to the business plan. He had two partners when he started his business. And it got so bad, both those partners bailed out on the partnership and found other directions in their life. And he's left there trying to hold this business together. And it looks like it's going to go under. He's just he's already broke. He's depleted all of his resources. And he says, boy, in 2 weeks, I'm closing this business down. I've got to do something. I've lost everything. I don't have any money left. What am I going to do? And in his book, he tells the story how that he got a call out of the clear blue from a man who is a business associate from many years prior. And the man's name was Mark Layton. He knew Mark when the two of them worked together at FedEx. And when they worked for FedEx, he wasn't really particularly close to Mark. In fact, he tells how he hadn't heard from Mark in years, and out of the clear blue, Mark Layton calls David Cottrell and says, "You know, I need your help. Could you come speak to my company at this event? Would you come and do that for us?" And David Cottrell says, "I thought it was going to be my last time to have a client in my business, because it's going to close up before all that's done, or after that's done." And so he goes to this and he speaks and makes a contact, and he from that gets a contract with Mark Layton's company that allows his business to get the traction it needed to start to move forward. And listen to the testimony of David Cottrell about what God did for him at that time in his life. He writes, "If I had created a list of 100 people I thought might have that kind of impact on my life and business, Mark Layton might not have made my list. However, I believe that divine intervention occurred at that time and place in my life." And I'm telling you, when you dare to follow God's call, you will find that God will give you the same testimony. God brought difference makers into my life. And you can testify to it. You look back on your journey in life and you can testify to it. And I want to encourage you, whenever God calls you to follow him, whatever that means, I want to encourage you, would you believe God? He will not leave you alone. He will be with you. But the God who never leaves you will also make sure that he brings people into your life. Key people, key times, for key purposes, at key places. Oh, so that's the blessing of difference makers. But then I want you to notice something else, because God is calling you to move beyond. In your life, you'll have the blessing of difference makers, but listen, God's calling for you is far bigger than that. God's calling for you is to be a difference maker. And in your life, on your journey, God wants you to move from being somebody who enjoys the blessings that are given by others who are difference makers. But God says, it's time that I want your life to be the person that is the difference maker. So when somebody else thinks of you, they think of the difference maker that you were for them. And so in this passage, God is going to answer a question for you and for me. How do I become a difference maker? Because that's what you want, isn't it? Don't you want to be a difference maker? How can I become a difference maker? Well, God's going to tell us through this lady who was a difference maker how to become a difference maker. Here's the first step to become a difference maker. Take notice. Take notice. So you think of it this way. Is there a need that I could fill? Is there an opportunity that's available that I could be part of? Is there a problem that I see that could sure use a solution, and I might be able to be a part of the solution to that problem? Is there a person that God's put into your life and God has really put them on your heart to pray for them and to consider that person. They don't know the Lord yet, or you don't know where their spiritual standing is, and you want to know about that. There's somebody that you know that knows the Lord, but God has really burdened you for that person, and they're in your sphere of life. And you say, hey, is this someone that God would want to use me to be a blessing and encouragement to them? Now, in this case, what did this woman notice? She noticed that the prophet keeps coming by often, verse 8, and continually. And she's watching out her window, and she's in the market, and she's on the street, and she sees him come by, and he comes through the city of Shunem regularly. And she realizes, hey, I could maybe help. Take notice. Hey, look around. Look around. You'd be amazed how much opportunity there is, but how many of you know sometimes you just don't realize it because you're not paying attention and you miss it? Take notice. Then, after you take notice, here's the next step. If you want to become a difference maker, take inventory. Take notice, take inventory. Because difference makers pay attention and they realize there are opportunities that God has placed in my life. Now let's take inventory, and you start to ask yourself questions like this. How could I meet that need? There's a problem that I see that we could that could really be improved. How can I be part of that solution? What is something that I can do? What is a step I can take to be part of it? You might ask, who's meeting that need right now? Could they use some help? Could she get some help? Could he use some help? Maybe nobody's meeting that need. You say, hey, maybe I need to initiate solving this problem or helping in that need. What are some solutions I could offer? Because, hey, it's easy to see problems. People who make the difference are people who bring solutions. So you're asking yourself and you're taking inventory of how can I touch that person's life? And here comes this woman, and she notices he comes by all the time to eat, and she says, hey, we could invite him to be part of our meal. He's coming through all the time. Maybe that's how I could help and bless his life and provide him a meal when he comes through our city. So you take notice and you take inventory. And here is the third step that it's going to take for you to become a difference maker. And that is take action. Well, somebody ought to do something. Yeah. Somebody ought to do something. How many of you know that if everybody became somebody and took action, just think what could be done and what difference could be made if everybody, instead of looking for somebody, said, I want to be the somebody. And see, people that dare to follow God's call, they move beyond. Take notice, and they move from taking inventory, and now here's where the difference is made. And this is where you're going to have to go in your life. If you want to be that person that is the difference maker, here's what you have to do. You're going to have to start taking action to become that person. And as you do so, I want you to notice then that there are three helpful words that are going to guide you. The first one is initiate. And so you'll notice, here's this preacher, and the preacher's walking through town, and she's watching him. And after a while, she realizes, hey, I could do this. And in verse 8 again, I want you to notice the word that is used to describe what she does to help this man. And she says, the Bible says she constrained him to come in. And I'm picturing this in my, come, hey, prophet Elisha. I see you come through here all the time. And listen, would you come to our home and have a meal with us? Oh, ma'am, I don't want to trouble you. I, you know, it's me, it's my servant Gehazi, and we don't want to trouble you. Please, we don't put you out. No, no, we want you to come. We want to have you in. We want to feed you. No, ma'am, I listen, you're so kind. I appreciate it, but I don't want you to feel obligated. No, no, no. Would you please come? All right. They must have had a wonderful time together because the Bible says that as often as he passed through there, he always made sure he stopped in at her house. Always knew he had a place to go. Now, if you want to be a difference maker, you're going to have to find out what those needs are that you've already worked through. But at some point, you're going to have to initiate. It might be the note. It might be that conversation. If you're wrapped up in your own little world, my friend, you are not going to ever be a difference maker. Your life is going to be empty. But oh, if you want to be a difference maker, you have to first take the initiative. Initiate! And after you initiate, it's exciting because what you'll find is it's a blessing to be a blessing. Initiate. And then there's another word that will help you. It's the word investigate. So this lady and her husband are sitting down to eat one day. I'm picturing this. And she says something that strikes fear in the heart of any man. Honey, I have an idea. I've been thinking about this. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, the nervous laughter. Have you had that conversation this week? It made you nervous? I've been thinking about this, and listen to what she says. Verse 9. Verse 10, rather, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. That's a menorah, a little light. And it shall be when he cometh to us, he shall turn in thither. You know what? How about if we add a room onto the house? We're going to add a room. Doesn't need to be a really big room, but it had to be big enough for two men to live comfortably. And I'm thinking that we could build a room and we could just make it there so whenever Elisha comes through, he always has a place that he can come and stay. He always has a place we can get a meal. How many of you ever heard the expression a prophet's chamber? Yeah. What's a prophet's chamber? It's a place that you have as part of your property as a church that for traveling missionaries, preachers, we have a couple here. If you were in last Sunday night, we talked about our vision moving forward, a third one. We have the plans to draw as God leads us and provides for it to happen. The plans are drawn up, but how we do it. And, hey, listen, a prophet's chamber. And it came right, that expression comes right from this story. And so there's a prophet's chamber. It could have been on the outside of that wall. It could have been on the second floor of their house, a flat-roofed house, and added a room on top. But they provided a room and furnished it and said, you know, with these are the resources God's given us. He's given us this home. He's given us this food. And so how about if we think this is something we could do with the resources that God has given us? Initiative. And in your life, you start to investigate. Okay, what are ways that I can continually bless somebody and invest in their life? How can I make a difference in someone else's life and the resources God's given me? Wherever I am, how? What are ways I could do it? And after you initiate and then further investigate, then here comes a lifestyle change for you if you're going to be a difference maker. A lifestyle change. And that is invest. What God has given to you in your life. Here's an older man and his wife. They had a house. They had food. Say, hey, let's do what we can to bless and make a difference for the prophet. And God wants to do that for you because God has put resources in your life. resources. It may be financial, but this isn't really about money. This isn't about money. It's about a life. It may involve money, but it's about investing your life in things that matter. He's given you experiences. He's providentially brought things into your life that you could use as he's worked in your life through those to bless and help others. And this becomes a lifestyle of investing in others. See, that's how you become a difference maker. And I know that's the person you want to be. And I tell you that God can make you that person that is a difference maker. So if you're a kid, you know there are kids in your neighborhood, and you start thinking, maybe God could help me to reach that kid in my neighborhood. Maybe God could help me to touch my neighbor. Maybe you're an adult and there's somebody that is in your community that you could touch. There's somebody at your workplace. There's somebody that is in your civic club that you're involved in. Or you've got a hobby, and in your hobby there are a group of ladies or a group of men that share this hobby. And in your hobby group or your Facebook group or your whatever group, I don't know, but God puts people in your life, and I just wonder, you're thinking, God, could you help me? Start initiating, investing. You never know how God's going to use this in that person's life so that you become a difference maker. So, when you dare to follow God's call, God brings people into your life who make a difference. Sometimes you're the recipient of the blessings of difference makers. Sometimes it's the impact of becoming a difference maker. But I can tell you this, when you dare to follow God's calling in your life to be that difference maker, you will experience the blessing for difference makers. We read about it beginning in verse 11 through verse 17. And remember, the prophet is there, and they stop in the house on their way. And verse 11, it fell on a day that he came thither and turned into the chamber, and he lay there. I'm just picturing, there's the prophet Elisha, and he's chilling out. Is that a Bible term, chilling out? Just relaxing. Looking around. This wonderful room. The furniture provided. He's thinking about the many meals he's had there. He begins to think, what? This woman has given so much to us. Made such a difference. I wonder if there's something we could do to bless her. So he goes to her and sends Gehazi and asks this question, what is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for the king or for the army, the captain of the host? Can I maybe, I've got a little bit of influence, maybe I could get a political help for you. No, I'm content to dwell among my people. I don't need anything. No. Goes back to his room. Chilling out. I wonder what could be done to bless this lady who has so made a difference in my life. Gehazi has a great idea. Hey, you know. In fact, let's read about what God says when God tells us about it. Verse 14, Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child and her husband is old. He's a little up there in age, no children, doesn't look like there's prospects of a child. Wouldn't it be a blessing if God could give her a child? Wow. And so he gives the prophecy, hey, listen. And she comes, in fact, you read it, she's standing in the doorway. Ma'am, would you come over here? Come over here. She walks up to, and she stands in the doorway, and he says, now listen, about in the season of life, from this time, in the season of life, you're going to hold a son in your arms. Oh, prophet, don't do that to me. Don't make a promise you can't keep. Come on, that's just foolish. No, it's going to happen. And sure enough, as the Bible describes it, in the season of time, in the season of life, just as he had said, a miraculous child is born that brought such blessing. She could never have imagined when she sacrificially, selflessly invested her life to make a difference. She couldn't have imagined the return she would receive. Let me tell you about people that are difference makers. See, people that are difference makers don't make a difference because of what they get from it. But God has a way of doing something, and that is God enriches difference makers' lives in ways that you can't measure. Now, I'm not talking about money, though. How many of you wouldn't mind a little extra money sometimes? Now I made you nervous, so I'm not going to say that. Yeah, but I'm not talking about money. Oh, my, no. Though if God wants to do that, don't argue with him about it. I'm talking about a life that is rich and full, that has meaning far beyond the very small world of my world and your world. But a life that extends beyond. Here's a lady who now, it's been thousands of years later, and guess what? We haven't been told her name or her husband's name, but today we remember her as a difference maker. And I'm going to tell you that if you will follow God's call, God will not only bring people into your life that are difference makers, God will make you a difference maker. And you won't really probably be able to understand it this side of eternity. But on the other side, and even sometimes in life, you get a glimpse of the blessing that you've received by being a difference maker. See, when you give yourself, in the long run, you always gain. Maybe that's why Jesus said that he that saves his life will lose it, but he that gives his life will save it. Now, this lady, there's so much more that we will experience. In fact, we will walk with this lady. We'll move forward in time the next time we're around this portion of Scripture, and we're going to walk with this lady through the valley of the shadow of death. And we'll experience what God was doing in her life. And we will learn from her life as well as Elisha again. But for today, what I'm asking and what God wants you to know is this. Will you dare to follow God's call to be a difference maker? Don't tell him no. Don't turn away. I'm telling you, give your life to be a difference maker. Would you stand with me, please? Your heads are bowed, and we're going to go to the Lord and ask for his help because we're at a decision point. God is dealing with you, and he's calling out. How is he calling out to your life? Now look, however he's calling, you have to decide. Will I follow his call? Am I going to make the changes in my life so that I can be a difference maker? Am I going to be willing to follow God even though nobody else does and trust God that he'll put the people in my life that I need? Am I going to be willing to give away my life and believe that God will take my life given away and will add so much more that I never would have received had I chosen to hold on to my life? My friend, today is a day to be bold and follow God's call. So God, as we pray, we commit these moments to you where people are making decisions. For some, this could be a life-changing day where they begin a path in a new and fresh way of being a decision maker, a difference maker. There are others that you are encouraging. Even it's time to come to the Lord Jesus and flee from the wrath that is to come. And you've brought them now to a point where they are ready and open to receive the Lord Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. There are others that have decisions to make in their lives. And on this day, God, as they decide to follow you and take this next step in the journey, I pray, oh God, that each man, each woman, each young person would be bold and follow your calling as you're speaking. And so we pray for this to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. The instrumentalists are playing. Your heads are bowed. This is the time for you to respond. It may be the time for you to pray about some things. It may be that there are other decisions that need to be made. It may be this is your day to come to the Lord Jesus. This is the opportunity. Would you come and just make this a place on the steps, on the front chair, front seats, where it's an altar where you meet with God. If you want someone to pray with you, that's just, the men will help guide you. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady, a man with a man. If you just want to have time with you and God together, that's fine. We want you to respond to the voice of God as He's calling out to you today.